about a joint work with Vladimir Zakharov from the University of Arizona and Frederick Gass from with a stick.
You can point on here.
Oh, yes, sorry. I saw the other eyes. Sorry. And Frédéric Gass from École Normale Supérieure de Cachan. So the goal of the work was to check the predictions of weak turbulence theory or wave turbulence theory. So this theory predicts Kolmogorov type spectra for system involving interaction between nonlinear dispersive waves. So this theory has many applications, for example, in hydrodynamics, for example, in the description of surface water waves, internal waves, in nonlinear optics, acoustic plasma, etc. So for the study of wave turbulence here, we have consider a model equation introduced by Maida, McLaughlin, and Tabak, MMT in short, so which is a relatively simple nonlinear dispersive wave equation. So here, A is your complex wave amplitude. It's only one-dimensional in space. You have three parameters, which are alpha, beta, and lambda. So this is in physical space. It's more convenient to write your equation in Fourier space, which looks like this. So this is a delta function. So this equation is determined by linear dispersion relation, so omega k, which is k to the power alpha. So let's say here that the physical situation is gravity water waves. And so let's set alpha equal to 1/2 by analogy with their relation dispersion relation, which is something like square root of gk. G is the acceleration to gravity. And this equation is also determined by T, which is the interaction coefficient, so something like that, where lambda here is equal to plus minus 1, and beta is a positive real number. And just incidentally, if you set alpha equal to 2 and beta equal to 0, this model equation reduces to the nonlinear Schrodinger equation. And depending on lambda, you have either the focusing or defocusing regime. So this is the model equation we are considering. So this model equation allows for four-wave resonant interactions, so determined by these two resonance conditions on the wave numbers and on the frequencies, which are so omega k, so as I said, it's k to the power alpha, which is 1/2. So you have non-trivial solution for these resonance conditions in the case alpha equal to 1/2, actually in the case when alpha is less than 1. Your model equation has two important conserved quantities, which are the Hamiltonian or energy, so something like that, so H, with a contribution from the linear term of your model equation, and the second contribution from the nonlinear term in your equation. And just to point out that in the case alpha equal to minus 1, your H is the difference between two positive terms, and in the case alpha equal to plus 1, your Hamiltonian H is a sum of two positive terms. And the second conserved quantity is the wave action of number of particles, which is nothing but L2 norm in your problem. Okay, so these are the properties of your model equation. So now let's apply weak turbulence theory to the model equation. So here we're interested in the description of the wave field, so with a large number of components. So the idea is to adopt a statistical point of view. So the method, we derive the kinetic equation for the two-point correlation function in your problem, which is NK, so which is the expectation value of the squared amplitude. So here, brackets stand for ensemble averaging. And then you look for a stationary powerless solution of your kinetic equation. So first, kinetic equation. So the problem that, so this is typical of turbulence. In a derivation of the kinetic equation, you have to solve a closure problem, because you can see that the evolution of your NK is determined by the four-point correlation function. And so to solve, so this is due to the nonlinearity in your equation. And so to solve this closure problem, here we use two assumptions. So first, the assumption of random phases. So in other words, each wave number is only correlated to itself. So this is related to the space homogeneity in your problem. And the second assumption is near Gaussian statistics. So in other words, your four-point correlation function can be expressed as products of a two-point correlation function. So using these two main assumptions, so in the end, you can derive a closed equation for NK.
Yes. You can compute solutions, one solution, that's a big project.
Mm-hmm.
But then you plug them into those relations, mm-hmm. like left hand side minus right hand side,
yes.
to see if that solution is zero or close to zero.
Yes.
Is this a study anyone has?
Numerical check?
Numerical.
Yes, you can check. You can check that. Actually, this is a very good assumption, depending on your initial solution, usually, but this is a good assumption if you plot. For example, even order moments as function of second order moments, you can check that it should fit. And this also you can check the random phases just by checking if one wave number, any one, is only correlated to itself or not. So it should have something like a delta function at your wave number. Yes. Yes. Actually, Maida, McLaughlin, and Tabak check these two assumptions. So this is making these two assumptions, you have this closed equation, which is actually the kinetic equation for your NK. So it looks like the Boltzmann equation, actually. And so what is important to note that here is that this kinetic equation is independent of lambda, which is plus minus one, because of the square here. So now we want to find stationary powerless solutions of this kinetic equation. So for which this left-hand side here is equal to zero. So first you can see just by inspection that if the NK are constant, the integrand here is zero, so possible solution. And if 1 over NK is equal to omega K because of the delta function, the integrand is also equal to zero. So these two solutions actually are what they call thermodynamic equilibrium solutions, which correspond to equipartitions of energy and particles. And in addition, there's also non-equilibrium Kolmogorov type solution that can also be determined explicitly using a conformal mapping technique. Actually, they're less obvious, and they look like this. So they correspond to a flux of particles and energy. They have explicit dependence on your parameters, which are alpha and beta. Here, the C1 and C2 are the so-called Kolmogorov constants, which can also be determined explicitly. And so these two, these last solutions are more interesting because usually nature's system are in non-equilibrium. They change energy and matter with the external medium. And so we want to check these two solutions. So first, what is the physical interpretive meaning for these two solutions? So suppose you force your system at some intermediate scales. Well, by conservation of energy and particles, so Hamiltonian and your wave action, so you should expect a flux of particles to large scales, which is the inverse cascade, and a flux of energy to small scales, which is the direct cascade. And so weak turbulence theory say that in this range and this range, a Kolmogorov solution should develop. So in order to check the predictions, so we did some numerical simulations, not on the kinetic equation, but on the original MMT model. So exactly. So yes. Yeah, so for wave turbulence requires to add forcing and damping in your equation, because you want to get a stationary non-equilibrium state in your problem. And you also need to integrate over very long times for statistics. Both of them. I'm going to show now. So I would like to show now some numerical results. So this is for alpha equal to 1/2, so the case of gravity waves. This is for beta equal to 0. So on top, this is for lambda equal to minus 1, so the focusing case. And this is for lambda equal to plus 1, which is the defocusing case. And so on both plots, so solid lines for the numerical results, numerical solution, numerical NK. And in dashed line, this is a theoretical prediction, which is k to the power minus 1 for this set of parameters. And so here we're only considering the direct cascade of energy. And so what you see first is that for both lambda equal to minus 1 and plus 1, we have different results, which is not predicted by the theory. And second, you can see that in the first case, so the agreement, there's a good agreement for the slope. However, if you want to compare the amplitudes, there's a very large difference. Actually, the predictions much higher by almost in one order of magnitude than the numerical solution. And for that case, lambda equal to plus 1, you can see that the levels of turbulence are almost the same, but the numerical results looks a little bit steeper than your prediction. And so why do we observe such differences? So I said that in wave turbulence, the system in space is assumed to be homogeneous. So on average, everything is flat. So there should not be coherent structures. So a possible explanation is the emergence of coherent structures in your problem. And so, for example, so wave collapse or blow-up solution. So there, so this is actually like in the previous talk, there are singularities in a finite time. They can be described as self-similar solutions, as like in this form. And what is important that they have a signature in Fourier space. In other words, they have something like this kind of spectrum, which is also a power law, with explicit dependence on your parameters beta and alpha. And if you if you look in physical space, they look like this. So this is your x, this is your t, and you can, so this is for lambda equal to minus 1, because you need a focusing regime. You need competition between nonlinear and dispersive effects. And so you can see that, so this is the phenomenon of filamentation. So on a very small scale, you have a focusing of energy. So wave collapse is responsible for a very fast transfer of energy to small scales. So that's why when you look at the spectrum here, you have a very large difference of amplitude due to the difference in transfers of energy. And so now, what about the signature in Fourier space? So in the case we're considering here, beta is equal to 0. So the spectrum for the wave collapse is k to the power minus 3/2, which is steeper than k to the power minus 1. So that's why the slope we observe is only the slope of wave turbulence, because it's less steep. So now what happened for that case? Actually, it's still an open question. But the possible explanation, so this is what we believe, is the emergence of quasi-solitons. So how many minutes do I have? 15.
We started late.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. So what? I'll make it very short. So what is a quasi-soliton? So first, suppose you want to look for soliton solutions in your problem, so real soliton solution in your problem. And so something like that. So C e to the power I omega t C x. So I have much time, so I can just read. So C x minus V t, which is a k equal to e. So something that decays very fast. Yes, I want to explain this case now. Sorry, I'm going so fast. So in that case, more or less explained. Is regime of wave collapse. So we can explain discrepancies in level of turbulence and the matching of slopes. It's well explained. So now what about this case now, which is the focus defocusing case?
Can you just say that again, that you can actually look in your numerical solution and get an order, the first order of magnitude of energy loss is similar.
Yeah, exactly. You can detect presence of collapse, wave collapse, by either looking at the spectrum because of this difference in amplitude, and also if you look in physical space, because this is what I showed, you have some kind of filamentation, which is really the obvious signature of wave collapse.
So look at this order of magnitude. If I went into physical space.
Yes.
This very beautiful graph, right? Cut out each one of those very tall spikes.
Yes.
And then restarted your data with everything but that cut out.
Yes.
After a certain series of times, you'd have 1/10 the energy?
Well, there's many of them. And, I mean, if you just cut, I mean, they will form again, right?
And cut them again.
Okay.
And then, at whatever time you do your graph, or your graph.
So I think this should... I mean, if you cut the wave curve differently, I would have much of amplitude.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because the matching of the difference in levels due to the flux, actually, and the flux is due to wave collapse. So definitely, if you just cut, you have matching of both slopes and amplitude. That's why I say it's very clear in that situation. And so now, what about that situation? Well, we don't observe wave collapse in that situation, so that's why we think it's something else, and we think it's quasi-soliton. So I said, if you, so what is a quasi-solitant? So first, if you look for a real solitant solution, so something like decays very fast at infinity, and that travels at constant speed. So if you plug in your equation, you have something like that with a denominator. So you see that for the denominator to be non-zero for all k, well, the only condition is v equal to zero, so you have a kind of static solitant. And also, they only exist for the focusing case, because you need balance between nonlinear dispersive effects. The problem that they're unstable in the case we're considering, beta equal to zero, if you use Vakitov Kolokolov criterion. So they're not relevant. They're not a good candidate to explain the discrepancy which would serve for lambda equal to plus one. So now, suppose that, just look at that condition. Suppose that this denominator is equal to zero for some k, let's say k zero. But suppose that your solution has a Fourier transform, which is very localized near, let's say, a k which is km, but which is very far away from k zero. Well, in that case, you have a quasi-solitant. And so the difference with the classical solitant that you have oscillatory tails. And so it's kind of delocalized solitant. And actually, we can derive an explicit expression for the quasi-solitant, which is some behaves like one over Cauch, so typical expression for solitary wave. And just show you in physical space what they look like. So they look like this. So you can see, so kind of bump profile with the oscillatory terms. So in summary, for the focusing case, lambda equal to minus one, the regime is the regime of wave collapse. So this is for sure. And for defocusing case, lambda equal to plus one, this is not a regime of pure wave turbulence neither, because we observe quasi-solitons, which is a coherent structure. But it's still an open problem because we're not able to make the connection between the existence of quasi-solitons and why the slope is steeper. So that's why I say it's still an open question. Thank you.